Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're really unpacking something crucial for anyone in B2B sales. It's that question, cold emailing versus warm lead nurturing. Which one actually gives you a better return on investment, you know, ROI?
That's a big one.
Yeah. And we've got some really great insights here from Lauren Popek, a marketing director, published just yesterday, July 15th, 2025. It really digs into this debate.
Right.
So our mission today is basically to pull out the key takeaways for you so you can understand these strategies, the nuances, and figure out how they fit your business goals.
Kind of a shortcut to getting smart on it.
Exactly. A shortcut. Because, let's face it, in B2B, margins can be tight, sales cycles drag on. How do you make every single outreach dollar really, really count?
That really is the core question, isn't it?
Mm.
And what's so interesting, I think, is that both approaches can work. Cold emailing, warm, nurturing, they both have their place. But really understanding the differences, and maybe more importantly, when to use each one, that can honestly be the difference between just, you know, treading water and actually growing.
Okay, totally agree. So before we get into the ROI weeds, let's just nail down the basics. What are we actually talking about? Cold emailing.
Right. So cold emailing. Think of it as an outbound tactic, pure outbound.
Okay.
You're sending emails unsolicited to people who've likely never heard of your brand before. No prior interaction.
Just
out of the blue.
Pretty much. You pick them based on maybe their industry, job title, company size, things like that. Your ideal customer profile, basically.
And the goal is just
simple, really. Introduce your company, try to spark some interest, and hopefully get a meeting or start a sales conversation. That's it.
Okay, got it. Knocking on a cold door.
Mm-hmm.
So warm lead nurturing must be the opposite side of that coin then.
Yeah, it's quite different. It's more inbound focused. It's all about building relationships with leads who've already shown some interest.
Ah, okay. So they've interacted somehow. Exactly. Maybe they signed up for your webinar or downloaded a white paper, maybe visited your pricing page a few times. They're aware of you.
But not ready to buy yet.
Right. Not quite there. But the idea is with the right, you know, education, good follow-up, giving them value,
yeah,
you can nurture them along until they're ready to become a customer.
Makes sense. One's finding new doors, the other's guiding people already inside. Let's dig into cold emailing first. What's the big draw? Why do people do it?
Well, the biggest pro is probably scalability. You can reach a huge number of new leads fast without the cost going up proportionally.
Right, you can blast it out.
Sort of, yeah. And there's speed. If you hit the right nerve with the right people, you can potentially generate meetings pretty quickly.
Okay.
It also lets you do target expansion. You're not stuck with just who finds you. You can actively go after new industries, new types of clients.
Opens up new territory.
Exactly. And the front-end investment is often lower. You don't necessarily need a massive content library or a huge ad spend to get started.
Okay, that sounds pretty good on paper. But I imagine there are some pretty big hurdles, too. What are the catches?
Oh, definitely. The biggest one everyone talks about is the low response rates.
Yeah.
You know, you're lucky to get 1-5% responding.
Ouch. 1-5%.
Yeah, it means you need serious volume to get traction. Then there are deliverability risks. Send too many, your poorly crafted emails, and bam, you're in the spam folder.
And that hurts your domain reputation.
Big time.
Yeah.
Plus, personalization is tough at scale. Tailoring thousands of emails, it's time consuming or expensive if you use fancy tools.
Right.
And you absolutely cannot forget compliance. Things like GDPR, canned spam.
Yeah.
You mess those up and you're looking at real trouble, legal trouble.
So with those low response rates and risks, can cold email actually deliver good ROI these days, or is it just a numbers game?
It can.
Yeah.
OBIX research really points this out. If, and it's a big if it's done properly.
Properly meaning?
Meaning really segmented lists, highly personalized messaging where possible, strong follow-up sequences, not just blasting generic stuff. For startups or companies breaking into new markets,
yeah,
it's often the absolute fastest way to like validate your idea and get those first few leads in the door.
But there's a trade-off.
Yeah. The caveat is your cost per acquisition can get high if you're not careful, not optimizing. And the sales cycles, they tend to be longer because you're starting from zero trust.
Right. You have to build that relationship from scratch. So if you are doing cold email, what are the absolute must-track metrics?
Well, you need to watch your open rate, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Then response rate, meeting booked rate, and how many of those turn into actual opportunities.
Makes sense.
Also, track your cost per opportunity, keep an eye on your spam complaint rate, and definitely monitor your domain reputation. Those tell the real story.
Got it. Okay, let's switch gears. Warm lead nurturing, the relationship builder. What are the big wins with this approach?
Well, the advantages here are pretty compelling, especially for long-term growth. First off, higher conversion rates. These people are already interested, right? So they're just more likely to convert.
Stands to reason.
It allows for relationship-based selling. You build trust. You establish credibility by being helpful over time.
Not just pushing a sale.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You also have way better data for personalization.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they've clicked on, what they've downloaded, so you can tailor your messages much better.
More relevant communication.
Totally. And usually this leads to shorter sales cycles once they are ready, because they're already educated and somewhat bought in.
Okay, those are strong points. What's the flip side? What are the challenges with nurturing?
Well, the main one is it's resource intensive. You need content, good content, blog posts, guides, webinars.
Makes time and effort.
Yep. And you likely need marketing automation software. Plus, sales and marketing have to be working together closely. It requires coordination.
The alignment is key.
Absolutely. Also, your reach is smaller. You're limited to the leads you already have in your system, unless you're constantly feeding the funnel.
Right. You need that inflow.
And it's a long-term focus. It might take weeks, even months, for a nurture lead to be ready to buy. It's not instant.
Patience required.
Definitely. And finally, it's dependent on funnel volume. If your lead gen dries up, your nurturing pool shrinks fast.
Okay, so given that longer time frame and the resource needs, how does the ROI look for warm nurturing? Is it worth the wait?
Popek's analysis suggests it often delivers a higher ROI over time.
Over time, okay.
Yeah, because those higher conversion rates mean your cost per actual acquisition tends to be lower in the long run, and maybe even more importantly.
What's that?
Nurtured leads often become more loyal long-term customers, which means a much higher customer lifetime value, or CLV. That's where the real long-term win is.
Where it compounds.
Exactly. The downside, though, is that longer runway. Setting up the email sequences, the lead scoring, tracking behavior, it takes time to build that engine and see results.
Right. It's an investment up front. So what metrics matter most when you're measuring the success of nurturing?
Here you're looking at things like email click-through rate, how many leads move from lead to marketing qualified lead, MQL, and then MQL to sales qualified lead, SQL.
Tracking that funnel progress.
Precisely. Also, average sales cycle length, hopefully it's shortening. Your customer lifetime value, CLV, is huge here.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, content engagement or people actually interacting with your stuff. And pipeline velocity, how fast are deals moving?
That gives a much fuller picture. Okay, let's put them side by side now, like a head-to-head matchup. How do they compare directly on those key things?
Yeah, the contrast is pretty stark when you line them up.
Lay it out for us.
Okay. Response rate. Cold, maybe 1-5%. Warm, much better, like 10-30%, or even higher.
Big difference.
Huge. Conversion rate. Cold is low initially, needs nurturing anyway. Warm is just inherently higher.
Makes sense.
Speed to launch. Cold is fast, days maybe. Warm. Weeks or months to get the content and automation right.
Okay. Cost.
Cost per lead. Cold looks cheap up front, but cost per acquisition can be high if conversions bomb. Warm needs more investment up front, but cost per acquisition is usually lower eventually.
Interesting trade-off. Sales cycle.
Sales cycle length. Generally longer for cold, shorter for warm.
Scalability.
Scalability. Cold is highly scalable, theoretically. Warm is more moderately scalable, depends on your lead flow.
Personalization.
Personalization. Limited for cold at scale, high potential for warm.
And the best fit.
Best use case. Cold is great for breaking into new markets, filling an empty pipeline fast. Warm is ideal for converting existing interest, building relationships, maximizing that CLV.
That clarifies things a lot. So for the listener thinking about their business, when does cold email really make the most sense?
Okay, so cold emailing is probably your go-to if you're, say, entering a totally new market and need to build pipeline from absolute zero.
Starting from scratch.
Yeah. Or if you have a super clearly defined ideal customer profile, your ICP, and you can get good, reliable contact data for them.
Got it.
Also, if your inbound traffic is low, you know, you're just not getting many leads coming to you, you might need to go out and find them proactively.
Makes sense. Need to generate activity.
Right. And one more, if you're maybe testing a brand new offer or product and you just need quick feedback, even if the conversion rate isn't amazing yet, speed over perfection sometimes.
Okay. And when is warm nurturing the obvious choice? Where does it really shine?
Warm nurturing is ideal when you already have consistent inbound leads coming in, maybe from your website, content, downloads, webinar signups, and you want to actually turn them into customers.
Capitalizing on existing interest.
Exactly. It's also really powerful in industries with long sales cycles. Think enterprise software, complex B2B services. where trust and education are just critical.
Relationship is everything there.
Totally. And if your marketing team has already done the work to build strong content assets, guides, case studies, drip campaigns, you're perfectly set up for nurturing.
Leverage what you have.
Yep. And fundamentally, if your main goal is optimizing for long-term customer value and loyalty, not just grabbing quick, potentially lower quality deals, then nurturing is the way.
That's a really clear breakdown. But it does make me wonder, do you have to choose? Is it always either? What about doing both?
Ah, that's a great question. And honestly, no, you don't have to choose. In fact, the research, like Popex, often points to a hybrid strategy as being like the hidden gem.
A hybrid. Okay, tell me more.
Yeah, the idea is you use the strengths of both. Use cold outreach strategically to fill the top of your funnel, get those initial sparks of interest.
Okay.
And then, once someone engages, you pull them into your warm, nurturing process to build a relationship and convert them over time.
Mm.
Best of both worlds, potentially.
That sounds powerful. How would that actually work, like step by step?
Okay, so picture this. Step one, strategic cold outreach. You're not just blasting. You target your ICP carefully, use personalized snippets, offer clear value. The goal isn't necessarily the hard sell, it's just to get engagement. A reply, a click, maybe book that first call.
Okay, spark interest.
Exactly. Step two, transition engaged leads to warm nurturing. The second someone raises their hand, replies, clicks, takes a meeting, boom, they're not cold anymore, move them immediately into a nurturing sequence.
So the automation ticks in.
Right. Marketing automation starts sending them helpful resources, relevant follow-ups based on their profile or behavior, tracks what they do next.
Got it.
Step three. Retarget and reinforce. For those who engage but don't convert right away, don't just let them go cold again. Use retargeting ads, maybe slower email drips, occasional check-ins to stay on their radar. Use data to keep it relevant.
Stay top of mind.
Precisely. And finally, step four, reactivate old cold leads. People who didn't respond the first time. Don't just delete them. Keep them segmented in your CRM. Maybe reach out again in 3 or 6 months with a new angle, a new product update, a relevant case study. Timing changes things.
That sounds like a really smart integrated system. But for any of this cold, warm, or hybrid to really deliver ROI, there's that piece you mentioned earlier, that alignment thing.
Oh, absolutely critical. You nailed it. You can have the best strategy on paper, the best tools. But if sales and marketing aren't aligned, it often falls apart. Or at least the ROI suffers badly.
What does good alignment actually look like in practice?
It means sales is constantly giving feedback to marketing. These leads are great, or these leads aren't qualified. Here's why.
Closing the loop.
Yes.
Duh.
It means marketing is creating content and campaigns that actually support what sales needs for both outreach and nurturing.
Yeah.
Not just doing their own thing.
Shared goals.
Exactly. Shared KPIs are both teams measured on generating qualified leads, on revenue, service level agreements, SLAs, clear rules on how quickly sales follows up on a marketing qualified lead.
Accountability.
Yep. Good lead scoring models so sales knows who to prioritize. And just regular communication syncs, strategy reviews. It sounds basic, but it's amazing how often it's missing. Get that alignment right, and you multiply the ROI of whatever strategy you're using.
Okay, so let's try and bring this all home. We've unpacked cold, warm, hybrid. What's the final verdict? Which one gives better ROI?
Well, like so many things in business, the honest answer is, it depends.
Oh, of course.
It really does. It depends on your business stage, your resources, your specific goals right now.
So, quick recap.
Sure. If you're a startup or aggressively pushing into a new market, cold emailing is often your fastest path to generating initial pipeline, validating your offer. It's proactive.
Get things moving.
Right. If you're more established, you have decent inbound traffic, a good content engine. Then warm lead nurturing usually offers better conversion rates, lower long-term acquisition costs, and builds that crucial customer loyalty, higher CLV.
Sustainable growth.
Exactly. But yeah. For many businesses, especially those selling high-ticket B2B solutions, that hybrid strategy often emerges as the winner for overall long-term ROI. Using cold to source, nurture to close.
It seems the smartest path often involves integrating both. But what really strikes me from everything you've said is that the strategy itself is only part of the equation.
You're absolutely right. What's fascinating is that ROI isn't just about which tactic you choose. It's so much about the execution.
How well you actually do it.
Precisely. Whether you're sending cold emails or warm nurture drips, effectiveness boils down to fundamentals. The quality of your data, the precision of your targeting, the timing of your outreach, and maybe above all, the actual quality and relevance of your message. Get those wrong, and even the best strategy won't deliver.
So maybe the final thought for everyone listening, whether you're about to send your first cold email campaign or tweaking a complex nurture flow, is to constantly ask that core question.
What's that?
Are you genuinely building trust? Are you delivering real, undeniable value? And are you actually helping your prospects solve their most pressing problems? That focus, that seems like the real key to ROI in B2B sales, regardless of the tactic.
Couldn't agree more. That's the foundation.
Well, this has been incredibly insightful. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.